And now, from the pages of the magazine Modern Romances, we bring you Runaway Wife, opening our story at the point where Charles Cassidy and Emily Shepherd have gone on a picnic together and have just consumed every bit of the box lunch which Emily prepared.
I told you we'd eat it all, Mr. Cassidy.
I never would have believed it. I haven't had such an appetite in, well, in years. Look, Miss Shepherd, I have to tell you something. I don't want any misunderstandings. I'm married.
Gee, why didn't you tell me that before?
Well, I just didn't have the nerve. I guess I wanted this outing with you too much. Look, I have all the respect in the world for you, understand that. But I did want somebody I could talk to. Please try to understand.
Somebody to talk to? Well, what's the matter with your wife?
I haven't seen her in more than 6 years.
Oh.
She went away.
Went away? Where?
I don't know. I haven't seen or heard of her since. I guess she got tired of me and our life together. You see, Marie loved fun and excitement, and I was trying to save a little money for a farm. When I began talking seriously about making a down payment of $2,000 on a piece of land, she took the money and ran away.
Well, that's why you always look so sad. I used to wonder about you when I took you up and down in the elevator. You never kidded with me like the other men. I guess you didn't know I was alive until that night you railroaded all the way down from the top floor alone with me.
That's right. You seem so sympathetic and sweet. I thought I'd like to talk to you. I've been like a lost soul all these years.
You know, I just remembered something. When a person's missing 7 years, they're legally dead.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't... Mm-hmm.
Please excuse me and forget what I said. I was pretty forward, I guess. I think I'd better be getting home.
I wanted to explain to Emily that what she had told me had kind of, well, mixed me up all of a sudden. A part of me wanted to cling to the memory of Marie. But another part of me seemed relieved and happy at the thought that in a little while she would be legally dead. The next day I realized why I was happy. When I saw Emily in the elevator, I told her I'd meet her at 7:30 at her house. When she came down the brownstone steps to meet me that night, she seemed timid and embarrassed. And I couldn't say anything for a while. We went to the park again and found a bench to ourselves.
I think I know why you wanted to see me tonight. You were afraid I didn't understand that you still love your wife, and you didn't want me to think you were seeing me because you...
No, you're all wrong, Emily. What you said yesterday about her being legally dead sort of bowled me over. I did think I still loved her, until yesterday, I mean. But today, when I saw you in the elevator again, suddenly I realized that I've fallen in love all over again.
Oh, Charlie, I can't believe it. You see, I was in love with you for a long time, before you ever spoke to me.
Oh, darling.
I never kissed anyone like this before. You see, I've never been in love.
You're so sweet. Oh, Emily. And to think I believed that life was all over for me. I thought I was going to end up as a lonely old farmer somewhere in the sticks.
You may as well know. I'm crazy about the country, too. I've always dreamed of getting married and having a little house. On a hill, maybe, and with cows and chickens.
Oh,
and...
darling, this is too good to be true. I'm glad I started saving all over again for that dream farm of mine.
Well, it won't be a dream much longer.
Emily and I planned evening after evening for our future. We decided to build our own home. I had close to $3,000. Emily had almost $1,000. Life was fun as we worked and dreamed together. One evening after several months, we'd been planning a modern, compact kitchen for Emily so she could save steps.
But, Charlie, we seem to be planning this house just for me. You have to have a place, too. Now, what do you want?
Well, I'll settle for a shed with a good, sturdy workbench and room in it for all the garden tools in the world. Gosh, wish we had this place ready to move into as soon as we're married.
Well, you want to wait to get married until the house is ready?
I should say not, darling. Our happiness has been postponed too long. The 7 years since Marie has been gone will be up in just 4 days. And that means in 5 days, you will be Mrs. Charlie Cassidy.
Oh, Mrs. Charlie Cassidy.
When I got home that night, the door of my flat was unlocked, and I heard a voice from the bedroom.
Is that you, Charlie? Come on in. I've been waiting for you.
Marie, is it... No, it can't be.
It's me, all right. Surprised? After 7 years, you didn't expect to see me, huh?
Well, you never wrote. I never knew what happened to you.
Why are you staring at me? I look a little different, huh? Well, so would you if you were sick and hungry. But I'm half asleep now, and I don't want to talk. Good night.
All night, I sat in a chair near the door, staring at what seemed like a ghost of Marie. And I kept telling myself that she had no right after all those years to come back and break up my happiness. And then I'd sigh and know in my heart that there was nothing I could do but take her back because she needed me. In the morning, Marie awoke suddenly and stared at me.
Charlie.
Yes?
Charlie, am I really home?
Yes, you're really home.
Tell me, did you miss me?
Yes, I missed you.
Any old time you did. All you ever cared about was saving money for a crazy old farm. Well, I fooled you that time, didn't I? Oh, did I have a good time with that money while it lasted. I had more fun in a little while than you ever had in your whole life. Well, I'm your legal wife, you know. You gotta support me.
I know.
Which reminds me, you better leave some money before you go. I haven't got a cent.
It was time for me to go to work, so I fixed some breakfast for her and left. I didn't see Emily until lunch hour, and I told her to meet me in front of the corner drugstore as soon as she was free. When she arrived there a few minutes later, I told her about Marie.
So she came back. Well, Charlie, what are we going to do? What can we do?
I can't imagine. She's sick, awfully thin and sick. I guess...
Guess what? Oh, I know what you're going to say. You're going to take care of her because you haven't the heart to send her away.
Oh, what else can I do?
I guess you're right. We can't kick her out. We... What am I saying? It isn't we anymore, is it, Charlie? It can't be anymore. That's all over, isn't it?
Don't cry, honey. Don't cry. Maybe everything will be all right. Maybe after she's better, she'll go away again.
Oh, maybe. But it can't be maybe, Charlie. I won't let it be. We've planned so much. We've even got the blueprints on our house. And now, look what's happened to us.
Oh, darling, please don't cry. I can't stand it, anything but that.
All right, I'll try not to. Oh, Charlie, I love you so. Listen to me. You meet me here after work. I'm going home with you.
But Emily...
Oh, don't worry. I'm not going to fight with her. I know she's sick and worn out, but we've got to talk this thing over, the three of us.
I agreed to meet her, although I knew she was setting herself a hopeless task. We scarcely said a word all the way to my house. Finally, we were in the hall, with its frayed carpet and its imitation marble walls, and we started going up the stone steps that went round and round the well, which dropped straight from the roof to the first floor. Just before we started up the last flight, which led to the top floor where I lived, Emily suddenly threw her arms around me and kissed me, like she was saying goodbye.
Well, look at the two lovebirds. Isn't that a picture?
Is that your wife?
Yes, that's Marie. You see now how hopeless it is.
Who's your girlfriend? Ringing off to meet me? That's... fine.
What's that she has in her hand?
An empty bottle.
Yeah, it's a bottle, all right. And it's coming your way. Oh,
Charlie, she's moving.
Oh, you stay here, Emily. I'll go down and see how she is.
Charlie, I'm afraid. It's such a long fall. She only hadn't thrown that bottle. She lost her balance, Charlie. She lost her balance.
But Marie was dead by the time I reached the bottom of the stairs. If she had lived, I'm sure I would have taken care of her forever. There are certain obligations you can't fight against, even though you want to. But in this case, death took a hand in the matter and gave me a second chance.
This has been an adaptation of a story taken from the magazine Modern Romances, entitled Runaway Wife. Now, a word from our announcer.